That was Shanks and Bigfoot with their Sweet Like Chocolate song. Very fun. Recommend giving it a listen if you do like themes that are sweet like chocolate. And speaking of sweet and chocolate, I am here speaking with Jennifer Earle, the founder of Chocolate Ecstasy Tours, Ice Cream Ecstasy Tours, which I still can't say, but I highly approve of, and Taste Tripper. And we're going to talk about her experience with chocolate, how she got into it, that sort of thing. So, hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm very excited to be here. Talking about chocolate is my favorite thing.
Well, speaking of here, we are at Jazz and Jewel's Chocolate House. You recommended we come here near Angel Station on Chapel Market. What are we having? What are we drinking? I got what you recommended.
So I kind of went off menu because I'm naughty like that. Mm. And so they have four different origin chocolates. They also have a bunch of flavored chocolates, but with the origin one, they have two Madagascan, one at 61% and one at 100%. And because I wasn't feeling like anything too sweet or too strong, I asked them to blend them together. So it's, I guess, like an 80%. So it feels perfect today because it's freezing outside.
Yes, it is. It is late November. Is it the last day of November?
Not yet. Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. So it's winter. It's cold. Mm. It feels cold anyway. I am first day I've been underdressed of the season. So here we go. I'm cold. So hot chocolate is good. How do you know to order that? What knowledge do you have? What knowledge can you impart on getting a perfect hot chocolate for your palate?
So the most important thing about hot chocolate is that it's made with real chocolate, which is why I suggested coming here, because so many cafes have powders still, like, which is just like ends up tasting like slightly like warm milk that is a bit chocolatey. So that's not really good enough for me because I'm hardcore chocoholic. So here they use real chocolate flakes, and a bunch of other cafes do now too. So the origin is more of a preference thing, but I've always really liked the Madagascan chocolate, and I'm pretty sure they get this from Chocolat Madagascar, and the Chocolat Madagascar 100% won the Golden Bean to Bar this year at the Academy of Chocolate Awards. Okay. So it's extraordinary. So if you if you start with like the best in the world for this year, it's gonna make a very good hot chocolate.
Okay, very cool. Speaking of awards, I think you and I probably, if we didn't meet at the International Chocolate Awards as judges, we met at something chocolatey.
Yes.
So, and that was maybe, we're talking before we started recording, maybe 7-8 years ago, a long time
ago. Yeah, 7 or 8, I think.
It's been a wonderful chocolate journey.
Time goes so quickly.
But how did you get started? How do you get to the level where someone ask you to judge their chocolate?
I am a greedy chocolate eater. So I started Chocolate Ecstasy Tours 12 years ago, so in 2005, which is kind of scary to think about. I definitely didn't expect I'd still be doing it like more than 10 years later. And I originally, I knew I loved chocolate, but I didn't know much about it. So I, in the process of researching to be able to deliver a tour that was actually informative, like by an expert, my plan was to find an expert first, but I figured I should at least know enough about it to recognize an expert. So I started chatting to the shop managers, read loads of books, but I also went along to a chocolate tasting by a company called 70%. I say company, it was two men. And one of them was Martin Christie, and so he was one of the original founders of the Academy of Chocolate Awards.
Yes, okay.
And because I told them about what I was planning to do, and I was kind of seeing if they were interested in running the tours as well, or leading them. And he, so then by the time we stayed in touch, we did some work together. And so by the time I started, by the time they started the awards, they knew that I knew a decent amount about chocolate. And it's hard with the awards because they don't want chocolatiers to judge categories that they're going to be competing in. So there aren't, or at least there weren't very many people at the time who knew a decent amount about chocolate without being an actual chocolatier.
Right,
so I meant that I was on the grand jury for most of them, and still am for some.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Has your palate changed over the years?
To be honest, I probably eat more sweet things now than I used to. I was afraid when I started leading the tours that I would get sick of chocolate because I thought, well, if I'm around it all day, then I would get bored. But actually, the industry has changed so much that it's actually the industry has changed so much that there's always new things to try, so it just gets ever more exciting. So I'm more obsessed with chocolate. I definitely consume even more chocolate than I used to. And now I pretty much only consume the more expensive chocolate. Sure. And I have nothing, like, no bad words against anyone who eats cheaper stuff. I still, you know, I eat some cheap candy every now and again if it's there. And, you know, but it's... yeah, it's just I have so much access to it and I buy it all the time. So I like to support the chocolate makers where I can.
Yeah. You got some favorite chocolate makers?
Oh.
Or is that really unfair question?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I have a lot. To be honest, I really... I don't know if there's any that I don't like.
Okay.
Yeah, because people have asked me that a lot. And there's, I usually mention a few brands that are really consistent across everything that they do. But actually, like, the standard is getting better. And what I try when I go, so I've just come back from the Northwest Chocolate Festival in Seattle, and then we a few weeks before that, we had the chocolate show in London.
Okay.
I didn't make Salon de Chocolat in Paris this year. I went last year. But we have, what you find at the shows is generally extraordinary.
Every year is a little better.
Yeah, it is, and there's more as well. There's new people coming through, and they're producing great stuff. Having judged things in the awards, though, as you probably have noticed, some stuff's terrible, and that's a real shame that you... And I think sometimes you can buy a bar of bean-to-bar craft chocolate, and it tastes pretty vile, and you wonder why you spent the money, and then it can put you off trying, so... If you're listening to this and you've bought a terrible bar, try again. And if you're looking for ones to try, then usually looking at the International Chocolate Awards website or the Academy of Chocolate Awards website. If they've got a silver or gold, then it's a good place to start. And then you can experiment once you kind of find the bars or makers that you like. Sorry, the origins or makers. And you can start trying different makers of making similar origins or try different bars from the same maker.
Okay. And so the Chocolate Ecstasy Tours,
mm-hmm.
you've had those for a number of years now.
Yeah.
It's in London, just London?
We were in Brighton for a while, and so we still do Brighton tours on request. The wonderful woman who was leading most of those tours, she moved away, and so I also moved further from Brighton, so now we don't offer those generally to the public, but we still have them. So
there's good chocolate in Brighton?
There is, yeah. It's a slightly different tour, so it's a little bit more, kind of includes macarons and things, so it's not just, like, chocolate truffles and things. Yeah, but it really, like, almost every city now has either a chocolate maker or a chocolatier that's... Mm-hmm. The standard, same as there's amazing artisan coffee shops, specialty coffee shops around the country and beyond as well. Like when
great
you travel,
craft beer in every city of almost any size now. Yeah, yeah, it's really exciting.
People care so much more about food, and it's so nice. Yeah. I mean, it can be a little bit annoying, I guess, with people caring about food in terms of like that's the conversation that you know.
Well, I guess
I love it, so I don't mind.
When it's annoying, it's like you can't just go out and have a chocolate or a beer or a meal. It's got to be the most excellent meal ever. That's when it gets crazy.
Well, that's kind of why we started Taste Tripper, because every time I travel, I want to have the best. I'm like, I don't want to waste a meal or a coffee on one that's terrible.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So the idea of visiting a new city means so much research for me, because I don't want to pay for the flights and the accommodation and then eat terrible food. And so the time I feel like I need to take to ask friends who've been there to look online and then figure out a short list.
Okay.
So I wanted with Taste Tripper, it was partly a way of having people who couldn't necessarily make the tours, because we have 7 tours a week usually, so they're pretty flexible. But
in London?
Yeah, in London. But not... not everybody can still make those times, or we only have 8 people, so sometimes like the weekends usually sell out. So it was about offering people a more flexible way to explore, which is kind of what I like doing as well. I like tours, but I like to just walk and discover at my own pace. And so we thought we'd create some packs where people could get the same kind of things they get on the tour. So they get like a proper size hot chocolate or a coffee or a truffles, or now we have the beer pack as well. So you get like a half pint or a flight of beer. But then you can just go when you happen to be wanting to be in that area anyway. Like if there's a restaurant you want to go to there, or you're going to visit a museum, or you've got a business meeting. And the idea would be that every single place that's included in the pack is worth visiting. Like it's not going to be a bad coffee that's going to feel like a waste of your caffeine intake for that day. There are so many great places in London that we could have done many more, and hopefully we still will. But the only places that we have included are really good. So, like where we are now, this is part of the chocolate pack.
Well,
and part of the East London pack too.
Presumably, and hopefully, or I hope this is going to come out before Christmas. So something like Taste Tripper sounds like a perfect gift for someone. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like the market, really, right?
Yeah.
So how do people find out about Taste Tripper? And
so tastetripper.com.
Okay, easy enough.
Yeah, and we're on social with @taste_tripper as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it really is, like, we wanted it to be a nice present because people can be so hard to buy for. And it's nice to give people an experience. And if you know they love food, like, especially they love coffee or chocolate or beer, like, you, there's only so many bottles of beer or you know, boxes of chocolate that you can buy people. I mean, there's not really, you could always have them, but you start to look unimaginative if you buy a box of chocolates every Christmas.
And it's still, so I remember in its early days, it's still about the size of a nice big card.
Yeah,
like a Christmas card. So okay, so it's a perfect gift, small size.
Yeah, if it's, it fits,
but then someone
the...
can use it whenever they like. And for a big experience, right?
Yeah, so it's not like, although you collect the items on your phone, it comes as, it fits through the envelope, fits through your, in an envelope through your, any size letterbox. And
oh,
it has,
important.
Yes, I know, because
someone
like,
who
wants
gets
to
a
wait
lot
in.
Of parcels, that's very important.
So it's only, it's only small, like it's half A4 size, but it's a bright yellow envelope, and it has as well, has the, all the locations you'll be visiting, so it tells you all about them. And has a website in case you want to check when they're open. But you can do that on your phone as well. And it has some recipes, and it's got a tasting wheel and some like just fun London facts, which is what we share on the actual tours, and some like tasting notes as well. So
what's a tasting wheel?
So we have one for coffee, one for chocolate, and one for beer. And it's kind of because like with people... when you pick up a bottle of wine, it'll tell you like notes of hay and peach and whatever. Coffee and chocolate both have more flavor notes, as I'm sure you know already, more flavor notes than wine does. So coffee is the most flavor complex. Chocolate is the most flavor complex food
coffee is
in the world.
Next, right?
I think so. Yeah. And there's quite a lot of overlap between them. So when you're starting to taste just chocolate bars on their own, it can be quite hard to identify flavors.
Yeah.
And so the tasting wheel is just a list of flavors kind of grouped together. It's in a like one of those spinning wheel type formats. So you can look and see if you identify any of them. It's for fun, like just so we've kind of got some things in the pack that help people geek out a little bit if they want to. So if there are a chocolate lover, in theory, they're interested in knowing a bit more about chocolate. So we have some like a glossary of chocolate words, like how to speak chocolate, it's called. And then we have how to speak coffee and how to speak beer in those packs. So, when you get the, because we have mixed packs, we have South London, East London and Central London as well, which have a mix of chocolate, coffee, beer, wine or tea. And it's just, they've kind of randomly added to the ones in there. But they said there's some recipes and some London facts. So it's a nice gift.
And is that essentially why chocolate is such a popular food? Is it because it's got all these, such a complex flavor profile?
That and the texture.
And the texture, okay.
Because you can't, because there's over 400 different flavor compounds in chocolate, it's not something that you can ever replicate. Like, you've never really had a chocolate perfume. Well, I mean, I'm sure you're not wearing much perfume anyway, but you've never smelled a chocolate perfume that really reminds you of chocolate in the way that if you walk into a house and someone's baked a chocolate cake, you can't replicate that. And so if you, when you're craving chocolate, you're craving that whole complexity of things that nothing else quite compares. And the same with the texture as well. Like, you can, you know, peanut butter is kind of like, got fat in it and it's smooth if you want it to be, but it's totally different from chocolate. And ice cream as well is sugar and fat, but then it's cold, and so you don't get that kind of crisp snap. Chocolate's just so unique that you can't beat the craving for it with another food.
Okay, and maybe this isn't quite your area of expertise, but minus the milk and sugar it's actually quite healthy for you too, right?
And, oh, I'm obsessed with that as well.
I mean, we're not even having
well.
Milk in our hot chocolate.
Yeah, we're
it's delicious.
It is, yeah. When you have, like, if we tried to do this with just, like, drinking chocolate powder, it would be disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
But because there's fat in chocolate, when you whip it up, it emulsifies and it becomes, like, you get a similar texture to what you get when you put milk with powdered chocolate. So, yeah, I'm really, really passionate about the fact that chocolate is good for you. And it's scientifically proven.
Antioxidant. Now we're wading into territory. I don't know, so I'm stupid for even bringing it up.
No, it's really... So I'm learning all the science. Okay. So, like, and there's new things coming out. So everything that with all the science stuff always needs to be taken with a grain of salt.
Right.
Which, you know, makes the chocolate taste better. A grain of salt. So a few weeks ago, the Academy of Chocolate hosted a woman, a nutritional scientist from the University of Aberdeen, mm-hmm. and she came to talk to us about what she knew so far about chocolate and its health benefits. And so actually what I like can't believe I didn't know already, it's so commonly misinterpreted in the regular media that there isn't actually antioxidants as such in coffee or tea or chocolate or any of those things, but it's actually like this is I'm it's better if you go and look this up, but my layman's understanding of it is that it's actually like technically got a poison in it, so your body tries to get rid of it quickly, but it drags out like a magnet other poisons in your body, so it kind of captures the free radicals, the bad things in your body
that
you don't want there,
that makes sense,
and then carries it through out of your body, which is is totally awesome because that's really good for us. And so the three things that are 100% confirmed in scientific studies as to be true for the benefits of consuming, it was 50 grams of 70% dark chocolate mm-hmm. a day. So that's a decent amount. If you have a 80, 90, 100, you're having more of the cocoa bean and less sugar, so then you wouldn't need to eat 50 grams. But so if you have that much a day, then it's been proven to reduce your blood pressure, increase the flexibility of your blood vessels, which is one of the things as we get older, they start to stiffen up, which is part of things that leads to strokes and heart disease and what have you. And then the third one is improving your insulin sensitivity. So for type 2 diabetics, having the chocolate obviously depends on how much sugar you are allowed by your doctor. So like all these things, she was very clear that you should consult your doctor before starting your own medicine. But yeah, it actually improves your insulin sensitivity. So it means that you I think that's the right way of putting it. I'm not a scientist. Scientist of psychology, but not the same thing. Really fascinating that it's if you're eating it sensibly along with other things and, you know, not consuming much more than 50 grams a day, then it's good for you.
Do you like it just as a sweet or do you like savory?
I mostly use it for sweet because I really love it as sweet. And there's only so much I want to consume in the day because chocolate does have a stimulant in it. So it's not as intense as caffeine. But with the amount that I want to eat, it can affect my sleep if I eat it too late in the day. So I tend not to bother putting it in my savory food as well for that reason. But I really like it in savory food. So if I'm making a mushroom risotto, then it really kind of lifts the flavor a bit. I put the cocoa nibs, the pieces of the bean in pesto sometimes. Gives it a really nice flavor. In the mornings, I have cocoa nibs on my porridge, whether I have sweet or savory porridge.
That's yummy, yeah.
Yeah, yummy and good for you. Because there's no sugar at all. And then if I was making gravy as well, I don't eat gravy for myself, but if I'm making it for other people, I'll put chocolate in there too.
Okay, very nice. Okay, but it's not just chocolate, you do ice cream tours as well, right?
We do, yes.
Okay.
They're really popular, which makes sense, because, like, who doesn't like ice cream? I've met people who don't like ice cream, but generally.
We won't talk about that.
Crazy people.
It's one of my favorite things.
What I love about the ice cream tour is that you get to try even more things than you do on the chocolate tour, because it's... you can actually eat more ice cream, as everybody listening probably knows. If you compare, like, it's much easier to eat lots of ice cream than it is to eat, like, a full bar of 70% chocolate.
Sure,
I can eat a lot more cake than I can eat 70% chocolate, too. So it means that
tours, is that next?
Oh, I'd love
maybe
to do
that,
it.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Okay,
very
much. Ice cream, yes.
Yes, so ice cream... because you can have, like, little tasters, then it means you can try so many things. So... during a tour, it's 2.5 hours, you will taste at least 20 different flavors of things.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
That's pretty cool.
That's central London, so I guess around Soho.
Yeah, and Covent Garden, yeah. So we visit 5 places. And so in some places you do have like a full cup for yourself or a little mini cone. But in other places we just share around lots, so that way you get to taste more. But with the ice cream tour or with the chocolate tour, we always promise that people will feel completely full by the end. I mean, not full as in like whole stomach full, but like you don't want any more ice cream or you don't want
satisfied,
any more chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I guess kind of like what we were saying with cafes, chocolate shops, beer producers. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. You had maybe one or two options if you wanted a decent gelato or ice cream. And now, probably within a 2-minute walk, we've got options.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like right next door, we're in Jazz and Jules, we're next door to a chocolate factory, like making proper bean to bar that's winning awards and stuff. Like Damson chocolate is, you know, and you would never have had that 5-10 years ago. And watching people, like, that's when I said I didn't imagine that I'd still be doing it, but I also didn't imagine that so many people would become interested in food. Like, 12 years ago when the tour started, there were expensive restaurants to go out to eat, and then there were cheap chains, and there really wasn't much in between.
It's the filling of the middle ground that I guess has happened. Now, it's taken a long time, but it's...
And there were not that many TV shows. I mean, we had Ready, Steady, Cook and ones that have been around for ages. Yeah. MasterChef was on TV, but it's just, like, proliferated, and you meet almost everybody thinks they're a foodie and an expert on food. But what's interesting, I think I was talking with someone recently, the fact that now if you want to open somewhere, it has to be really good because people are much more discerning. Unfortunately, it also has to be really Instagrammable because you can be great, but if you're not getting the word out, then you might not survive. And it's quite depressing sometimes that Instagrammable is more important than it tasting good.
Yes. Well, so you can... new places, they're sort of how they do their lighting, how they plate their dishes.
Yeah.
They're keeping that in mind. It's a huge deal, isn't it?
Yeah. And unfortunately with Instagram, the bigger sort of people with followers on Instagram, it's more about lifestyle and fashion and pretty things.
Oh,
so like cake shops that are pink and pretty have queues out the door, and the cake's good. There are other good cake places in London and they who don't have queues because they're not quite as photogenic.
It's a shame.
Overall,
anyway, I think there's some good things about it, but
It's great that it's allowed them to like open, but it's also it's a shame that it's another thing that businesses have to think about apart from, you know, paying the bills and managing staff and ordering their stock and making great food, that they also then have to think about spreading the word on Instagram and making sure that the lighting is good.
Exactly. No shadows.
Flowers are fresh. And
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, it's not enough for you to just tell people what's good chocolate, where to find good chocolate. Now you're starting to tell people how to make their own chocolate, right?
You want
to talk about this? We're workshops? This is a new one for me.
So workshop only went live a month ago.
Okay.
It's a brand new company.
So sometime in October?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So super new. I think I'm like the 10th workshop to launch on the platform. So it's all app-based. And the idea is like you can't necessarily attend classes with an expert because of, you know, maybe don't live in London or another city where they have classes, but also some of the experts no longer teach classes or they charge a lot of money because it's you know, they're busy writing books and whatever. I'm not writing a book yet and I'm not sure that I'm quite classing myself with the other people that have
sounds like you
released
knowledge
things
for one. Yeah, we got a book in you.
One day maybe.
Maybe.
But so basically workshop is a set of modules where you learn on a specific thing. It provides you with the ingredients list, with the equipment list, and then you press play and it stops at every point when you would need it to stop, and you touch it. It's really slickly put together. I didn't create any of the app, but it's really nice. And so they invited me a couple months before they launched to be the person delivering the chocolate, and so another chocolatier, but I have done a bunch of chocolate classes and made chocolates before, and so we went on the idea that if I can do it, then anyone can do it. So many people are intimidated by chocolate making, and it's really not that hard. Like, it can be if you kind of like depending on what you're trying to achieve. And
pretty basic ingredient list anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's I think people don't even want to start because it seems just too intimidating, yeah, too impossible to get it looking nice and shiny. But actually, the point of this is to show you that with like a couple of pieces of equipment and good quality chocolate, you can make things that you'd be happy to give to people as a present. And that can be a lot, even though the equipment's not that cheap. You don't, I mean, it still comes in under £100 easily. You can then make chocolates for people that would be so much more affordable to, right, give as gifts. And it's really nice because it's really nice, handmade. And so.
But you need special equipment. It's not just stuff you probably have in your...
So it depends on what you want to make.
Cabinets.
So a silicon mat's quite important. So
okay. That's pretty basic.
Yeah, that's pretty basic. Like, you know, the good ones cost about £20. And then a scraper is really handy. And again, the good ones of those cost about £20. But you can make truffles with just a scraper. In fact, you don't even really need the scraper. So with a silicon mat, mm-hmm, and a microwave, you can make truffles.
Okay.
That's all you need. So, but the last module and the second module, in fact, where you're making like... using a mold and making filled chocolates, then you need to buy a mold. So if you spend a bit more money on those, you get better quality ones. And again, they're about £20 or £30 for the good ones. The cheaper ones you can get for like £10, they can be harder to work with though, so it's probably not worth the stress. Unless it's a novelty one, like an Easter egg, it's fine.
So what is the platform? How do people find the workshops?
So it's on iTunes and Google Play, or the Play Store, whatever the other ones. I've just switched my phone to back to being an iPhone again. I've already forgotten the Android version, but it's it's actually just called Workshop app. And then when you so the app is free to download, and then within that you buy the you buy whichever workshops you're interested in, and then you have it forever. So you can watch it as many times as you like. So some people like kind of watch it first and then they get started so that they feel much more confident, like knowing what's coming. That's the kind of way I would do it, just because I like to know what's coming. For when they launch them, the first 100 to be downloaded are £4.99 instead of £10.
Okay. Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
okay.
So then really affordable. It's just like our taste trip effects.
Liking to know what's coming. What's upcoming with you? What do you got in the agenda?
Oh,
near to long term, whatever you want to put out there.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
So what do you know? What I'm coming to the end of the year now. I should really start thinking about what my intended outcomes. I want a new kitchen. That's kind of preying on my mind, which is not really technically related.
This is a whole other podcast episode.
Yeah.
We can both talk about home renovations.
Dream kitchen, home renovations.
No chocolate.
Yeah, not a leaking kitchen that's like 10 degrees colder than the rest of the house.
It's worth it.
More than. Yes. Next year I am... we're planning to do more on Tastetripper. So like I said, we've got Central, East and West London, but we're hoping to pull together a vegan pack so that people, you know, with dietary requirements can explore London and know they're going to get great stuff. Ideally, we'd like to keep adding places so that we can narrow down more specifically. So it might be like a Peckham Explorer or a... Notting Hill Explorer. And then we want to, hopefully by this time next year, we'll be in at least one other city as well. So,
A British city?
Yes.
UK city?
British first, just to not like make ourselves. I mean, I really want to get to New York and Seattle and Melbourne and places, but we'll start where we can easily commute to now.
Very cool. And before the new year, any advice for Christmas with people considering chocolate pies, chocolate prezzies, that sort of thing?
Well, obviously the taste of a pack is only like $19.50.
Okay, $19.50.
And that's
price
pack for one, it's pack for two, which is much better value, but it's £35. And then it's the same across the chocolate, beer and coffee and the localized packs. And then obviously chocolate tours are an amazing gift, and we have golden tickets, which come with that, because who doesn't want to get a golden ticket for Christmas? I'm totally open for people emailing me for specific, like they've got a friend who really loves this or has these kind of dietary requirements, because it's so, on the tours, it's amazing. Over 12 years, I ask people at the beginning what their favorite kind of chocolate is. And in some places we get people to choose their own thing that they want to taste, most places in fact. And people are so different. It's just even down to just what you like to taste. Like, they might all be, you know, women of the same age on a hen party, and yet their tastes are completely different. Like, they're all friends, you know, they have similar backgrounds, some more mostly, but they choose totally different things. So it's you definitely, like, I'm totally open for people contacting me for
great. And how would people contact you? What are the important URLs, social handles?
I have too many, which is why I'm so infrequent on social media. So there's tastegrouper.com, chocolateecstasytours.com, which luckily if you type it anywhere you like into Google, it tends to find us. And then I have a personal website, which is my name, jenniferearl.com.
And that's Earl with an E at the end, right?
It is, yeah. Yes, thank you.
E-A-R-L-E.
Yeah. All of those have all the socials, so it's, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and... Yeah, for all three accounts. I have someone helping me manage some of the Chocolate Tours and Taste Tripper ones, but I do most of them.
Okay. Well, sweet. Like Chocolate, which is the song we started and we'll go out with. And that's a fun, I want to say it's a little cheesy, but maybe it's a little chocolate, right?
Yeah, it was just when you asked about a song, I was like, it was the first thing that came into my mind. I don't know if I heard it recently or whatever.
Go with it. It's a fun one to try, right? Yeah. Good one for thinking about sweet things with. Anyway, Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am Chris Osborne. You can find me at tikichris.com and at tikichris on Twitter. And Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great.